Welcome to your number one source for technological innovations, ideas, and strategies for your business. Multiply your business's equations and put the odds in your favor. Now, live from Club IT HQ with your hosts, Ben and Sam, this is Tech Factor.
Alrighty. Welcome, everyone. I'm Ben.
And I'm Sam.
And this is
The Tech Factor.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to a new season, season two, episode one of The Tech Factor. Tech Factor is a podcast all about driving business productivity, innovation, utilizing technology. Our topic today is Optus, which has been massively on the news. People want to know a lot about it, what's going on and what's happening. You know, there's a lot to digest. So we're going to go through and break it down. Optus is a the classic three-letter word branding, yes, but today it's all about their four-letter words. So let's explain to everyone what happened. So give a bit of a breakdown of what actually has happened, and then we're going to go through what that impact of that is, so what it means to you as an individual, as an organization. Then we're going to get a little bit of about the aftermath of that as well. So let's get started. Sam, so what do you got for me?
Yeah, so I'm sure nearly everybody by now knows a little bit about what's going on, but basically Optus notified the public of a cyber attack on its systems on Wednesday, the 21st of September. We don't know exactly how long it was before Optus identified these issues, but it is what it is at the moment. So at this stage, hackers accessed the data of up to 9.8 million people. This includes names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, with some people even having driver's license numbers and passport numbers leaked. The exact number of people who have had their data stolen actually isn't known fully yet.
Yeah. So basically with this data breach, essentially what happened was they utilized an unauthenticated API that was somehow available in the public domain, that it shouldn't happen in the first place. To explain really simply what an API is basically an interface that we use for different systems to talk to each other. APIs these days are so common for a myriad of reasons. The essentially Web 2.0 meant that applications became cloud hosted, which everyone loves, and we go, well, have everything in the cloud and it's all going to be great, it's all going to be fantastic. But the downside of that is that obviously all these applications need to communicate with each other, and they need to communicate with each other also via the World Wide Web, via the cloud. So they need to communicate in an open environment. Now, traditionally with an API, what is supposed to happen is you have API tokens, you have a security token of some description. You may have additional secure API security keys, and you've also got granular levels of permissions and things like that. You've also got token expiries and all kinds of bits and pieces. Apparently, this had none of that. So this was an unauthenticated API that allowed the hacker to essentially, and we suspect it could have been them individually, it could have been a bot or whatever. They basically found the endpoint and they were able to go through and do a whole bunch of queries to grab information that Optus held in its database of 9.8 million people. So pretty damn ridiculous.
And 9.8 is a significant number in a country like Australia. That's what, 40% of our population?
It is the largest data breach in Australian history.
Which is just insane.
So far.
Yeah.
Hopefully, that. I mean, this is the thing, right? Clearly, the government doesn't want this type of thing to happen again. We'll get to that shortly. But I guess what that means is, and again, so Sam and I, we've been able to go through, there is actually a way to test to see what information Optus has held on you and how that API would present that information to hackers. But essentially that's what's happened. Look, we don't really know, again, Optus has given us a timeline via the media releases and whatnot, but this may have been going on for some time. It may have, this API, the server may have been exposed for some time. Certainly the individual hacker that has accessed it, or the individual hackers, we don't know. As we expect, individual hacker that's accessed it, maybe there was someone else that was aware of it before them as well, just didn't actually say anything about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is a massive, it's a really basic thing in terms of cybersecurity. And for Optus at this scale to leave something like this open, it's not so much even just the damage it's going to do Optus, but it's the damage it's going to do at government level. It's also the damage it's going to do across, there's a collateral across all organizations. The banks in particular are very, very angry and upset about this.
Yeah, it's going to cost a lot of people a lot of money.
Because the ABA has gone through and put something out. I mean, and obviously the ABA being very good at lobbyists, they're going through and asking the government to make change to legislation already to so that they get notified as soon as these types of things happen as well. But I mean, that's honestly the starting point. So essentially that's what's happened. So what does it mean to an individual? How about we talk about what we've seen personally for ourselves and how to look at it, and then basically explain that a little
bit. So there's some tools online that the Whirlpool has released, a bit of a wiki to give a bit of background.
Fantastic resource, and we'll put that down in our blog and any information as well. We'll share that.
So the Whirlpool is a pretty tech related news and media outlet, as well as a forum. So it's very well known in the tech community, and they've got a very good resource out there, which we will share. Basically, what they've given is some instructions on how to basically log in to your Optus account and then be able to access the API as such to pull out any data that would have been under your name. So both myself and Ben have done this today.
It's a very simple process. Once you log into your Optus account, again, so the way an API works, it creates an access token that should have an expiry. I hope they have expiries. I'm pretty sure they would. And then that allows you then, if you can do the same queries as what the API did, it'll return the data. So we did that, right, Sam? Give us an example of what, don't give us your personal information.
Well, I'm sure you can find it now.
Doesn't matter anyway. You can just always look it up.
For me personally, it released my first and last name. Not my middle name, but my email address was leaked, which my middle name is part of my email address. So that is a bit redundant for me. It also has given my current mobile number, my current date of birth, obviously my date of birth, my current postal address, as well as my driver's license number and state of which it...
state of issue.
Yeah, state of issue for it.
Yeah, and so, I mean, looking at what I've got here, the data that's presented for me, it has my date of birth. It's got, email address. It's formatted name. It doesn't include my middle name, which is beneficial. Again, due to Optus's incompetence and my request numerous times for them to update my address, they never did that. And I've actually got incorrect information there, which is fantastic. So some of the information they've gone through and provide there is inaccurate. The driver's license looks accurate. It's not good news. And as I said, this information, again, in terms of what this is, so again, the fact of the matter is that obviously this can be utilized for a variety of purposes. You can effectively, if you've got this information, you can reset almost anything. And you can also, again, so what I think most likely what we're going to see for individuals, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be, phone calls, SMSs. Hey, this is John from the bank, from NAB. Your date of birth is blah, 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 correct? Yep. Oh, yeah, just calling about your account. Can you give us this information and whatever? So I think that's going to be the most likely attack vectors that we're going to see in terms of the typical types of scams once this information gets out there onto the dark web, if it's not already out there. In terms of the other stuff, it's going to be lateral movement. So from a cybersecurity point of view, what that means is if they get access to one account, they use that to get access to another account and so on and so forth. The holy grail being your email account. I would strongly recommend if the email account you're using that's registered with Optus isn't actually highly utilized, it might be worth actually just changing your email account. Because that would be a big benefit in that regard. If someone gets access to your email, they ultimately get access to everything. And I think you mentioned it earlier, Sam, restoring access to an email account can be a matter of, what's your phone number, what's your date of birth and stuff.
Often, especially with Gmail accounts, which, probably the majority of the general population uses, is it's going to be confirm your recovery mobile number or recovery email address, which is likely something that's part of this information leak. And unfortunately, this information isn't hard to disseminate, because I personally have been just searching the internet and have found, when it was originally found and was posted on some forums, they posted some samples of 100 records, and it's easy to see, at least in this sample that I was looking at, I could tell people's names, their address, their phone numbers, driver's license numbers, and that's with 5 minutes of Googling. So it really is a little bit scary for the personal, just for your personal security and what could potentially come from it.
And that was one of, and we'll get to the aftermath shortly in terms of what it might mean for people individually. But certainly in terms of the individual, as I said, you should anticipate that if you've got that information with Optus, it's probably been exposed or it will be exposed at some point. So as I said, what you can do about that is, well, again, make sure, well, if you don't have multi-factor in your email, you're insane. You need to get multi-factor in your email yesterday. But you should have multi-factor on pretty much anything of any significance.
Yep.
That will help. But again, if people have this level of private information, they can utilize that information to then get access to your accounts or reset accounts potentially. So it's important to make sure that, again, with the account information, to make sure, again, if you can change email address, if you, you know, it'd be worthwhile doing. I think in terms of the, again, certainly, I mean, resetting passwords isn't going to do too much, but certainly making sure you get multi-factor and just making sure that if they're, again, your email is going to be the golden keys. If you can lock that down, I think that's absolutely critical. And just be vigilant. I mean, anticipate and expect that you'll get scam calls. You'll probably get scam text messages. You may get scam emails that are, they'll be very effective, and you're going to get them at an unprecedented level that you wouldn't have received them before. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, definitely. And the ACCC, so the Australian Consumer and Competition Commission, have said that Optus customers should suspect they are victims of fraud and should request a ban on their credit records and be skeptical of unexpected calls from people claiming to represent banks or any kind of government agencies or any business, really. If you haven't asked to be called, then probably expect it to be fake.
Yeah. I think that's, look, it's frustrating as it is, you're going to have to assume that whatever you're receiving is likely going to be fake. I mean, unless you can validate and verify it, you should always go through and double check. Even if it's a matter of just saying, okay, the bank's called me, that's fine, I'm going to hang up. I'm going to actually call the bank directly and make that inquiry and see whether that is actually a legitimate inquiry or not.
I don't think it's going to hurt to be safe.
Absolutely. So it's just a matter of just, you have to be absolutely, you're super precautious and be ready for it, anticipate it. Excuse me. So I think in terms of, again, so that pretty much sums up, again, what it means to the individual and how it's going to affect them. Let's talk a little bit about the aftermath. So basically, do you want to explain some of the things that we've seen to date, Sam?
So there was some parliament meetings and stuff on Monday. So that would be yesterday if you are listening to us up to date. The government has committed hundreds of public servants from several agencies to the aftermath of the Optus hack and data breach, with law enforcement effort codenamed Operation Hurricane. And we expect Operation Hurricane to continue for some years. So basically they're saying very substantial support has been given by the Australian government, and that they're going to be just basically focusing on what's happened, what can we do to help, and what can we do in the future to not have this happen. And unfortunately, I think it's going to cost the taxpayer a lot of money.
Yeah, to some extent, the horse has already bolted on that. But I think Operation Hurricane, to what they're referring to, it's going to be obviously a response. We're talking hundreds of obviously government bureaucrats, it'll be millions of dollars. By the time the actual, we've all gone through this process, it will be hundreds of millions of dollars. Yes. Because it's not, and again, what people need to understand as well is it's not just, okay, what the federal government, the taxpayer is going to be spending. It's going to be the cost to the banks, it's going to be the cost to pretty much every major organization across the country, and ultimately is going to be the cost and what legislation changes are inevitably going to occur as a result of this. The thing of it is that this information that's now ultimately will be available can be utilized in a myriad of different ways to access further information and potentially for financial gain for malicious reasons. The other thing we also mentioned, Sam, in terms of the aftermath, we also mentioned if you've got ABOs and things like that, I think you mentioned something about that.
Yeah, so there's a... So a lot of information on government websites and it's all linked through this wiki that we will make sure everyone has access to on our blog after the show. And basically it has some really real world effects to say someone who has, now has information online of them and they might be under witness protection or might have AVOs against them, or there might be some reason why their information should not be available to the public. So these people might actually be at serious risk themselves and their families to potential harm. And Service New South Wales has basically come out and said in their posts online that if you feel you're in this genre, you should probably ring 000 immediately, explain your situation and see what can be done. And you know, it might be whether, if you're in witness protection, it might be a matter of moving you or, you know, other steps that the police can take.
Yeah, as I said, that the collateral on this is massive, and it should not be underestimated. And we will anticipate, look, so there have already been hints of some minor changes within the existing framework for basically cybersecurity legislation, but I anticipate it'll be quite significant. We are seeing, again, like we're starting to see compulsory standards, you know, in other parts of the world. I think this is going to be a big wake-up call for the country.
Yep.
You know, Essential Aid is highly recommended. The Essential Aid cybersecurity framework is highly recommended for organizations, but I think quite clearly it'll become a mandatory thing. You know, as I said, like it's all about that lateral movement. This information that's now available will be utilized across all systems. It won't just be utilized in Optus. It won't just be utilized at the banks. It'll be tested everywhere. It'll be, everyone knows this information now, and they're going to try that on whatever systems that can be used for malicious or financial advantage.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't, you know, so the aftermath of this, again, you know, it's funny because Optus have said, you know, they're not prepared to pay any compensation or anything just yet. It's quite clear.
Yeah, no, they've been very, very forthright about they're not going to pay any kind of fraud protection or any payouts at this stage to any customers. Honestly, Optus, probably other than official statements, really haven't given much information. They've basically said customers will receive emails, and a lot of customers have received emails, but they are very vague. Mine in particular just says that my information may have been accessed.
Yeah.
Like it gives you no information. It sends you a few links to a few government resources. But even then, I'm not 100% sure what I should do at the moment. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are in the same boat.
And that's the thing, ultimately. I think, you know, we're seeing a bit of a PR and a bit of a legal campaign with Optus. You know, there's a lot of media management that's going on. I'm quite surprised at how nicely they've actually been treated in the media. I don't think people fully... The media are either too ignorant to understand the full effects of what this will occur, or whether, you know, again, they're playing ball with everyone, just, you know, playing besties amongst, you know, sponsors and deals and things like that.
This wasn't some genius spending years of coding and stuff to crack some top secret database that's hidden behind firewalls. No, this was a simple mistake that left a database, that left an API open to the internet with no security, and it was likely discovered by a bot and probably took 10 to 15 minutes to access.
And you know, it may well be lucky that it was exposed by someone maybe with slightly less malicious intent, or maybe that, you know, when we heard about the ransom, it was like 1.5 million
US dollars.
Like, that's nothing to compare. Like, normally, so credentials on the dark web will typically go for a couple of bucks a credential. What they do is you buy basically a database of 1,000 credentials or something, and you know, they try on different websites and stuff like that. This information could go for easily, you know, 10, 50 times that amount, easy, no dramas, given the extent of it.
Because it's not a small breach either. It's not something that, you know, a bank can quite easily just close the accounts, or, you know, a small business can just notify its customers to change, you know, passwords or update their information. This is a massive, massive breach with very large, complicated data that has been leaked out into the internet. And even just something of changing the driver's license numbers of 9 million people isn't a small feat. And it would be something that it's probably the, you know, state governments probably don't even have the resources to do that.
We don't have the resources for it. They wouldn't have the budget for it. They're all freaking out. Same thing with the passports. I think we talked about that, where they're like, well, you don't really need to change your passport, but I mean, you know, as we've got these other things in place and blah, 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 they're all kind of saying, well, please, we can't afford to do all that. We don't really want to do all that. And that's basically what it's coming down to.
And I think especially with what the passport office is probably worried about at the moment is I've recently seen that passports are delayed up to 6 months at the moment. It's if massive. You get one because Good everyone luck. Wants to travel overseas now yep. that we can. So, you know, can you imagine that plus millions of other people wanting new passports? It'd yeah. just be such a huge strain.
It's a massive undertaking.
And, you know, the budgets, like you said, the staffing, the procedures, none of it's there because we've never had to deal with it before.
Yeah. And so that's, I mean, ultimately that's what we're going to see is that, I mean, the government will ultimately, I mean, because the one thing that you, I mean, you know, we're a little bit skeptical and everything, but ultimately if it affects the government's financial position quite significantly, they'll make significant changes. Same thing with the banks. Obviously the banks also own insurance companies and other bits and pieces. So they're going to be advocating, their lobbying groups, the ABA will be advocating for significant changes. I mean, the banks aren't necessarily, you know, the good guys in this either, but because they're also being, you know, pretty slack on cybersecurity over the years as well. There've been plenty of instances where the banks have made mistakes also.
Exactly right. And, you know, it just comes to, you know, it's going to cost a lot of people a lot of money at the end of the day. Like, it's going to be governmental. It's going to be banks. It's going to be personal. It's going to be insurance companies. It's going to be a bit of everything.
Hmm. So ultimately, I mean, that's what we're going to see. We're going to see more legislation. We're going to see a lot of collateral. And I think as an individual, you need to make sure that, you know, you are right on top of these bits and pieces. You need to, you know, remain skeptical. Be conscious and aware of what information has been exposed. We're going to share those links on our website so you can have a look and you can easily disseminate what information has been potentially exposed. And again, like, make sure you lock down your emails. If you can put multi-factor on things, put multi-factor on them, and just be conscious of the fact that you probably will see SMS and phone scams, I think, is the primary attack vector.
Yeah, and I don't think we can stress enough to basically anyone that has been or is a customer of Optus, whether you're personal or business. I think also Optus personal broadband accounts have also been affected in this. Mm. So, we can't stress enough that go through these resources, have a look at the stuff that we share on our website, do your own research, contact, you know, Service New South Wales or wherever you are in the country, your state road services, find what information may have been leaked, keep an eye out on the media and just be vigilant.
I think that's the ultimate takeaway. But look, again, we haven't heard the last of this and I think we'll still hear some more to come. Ultimately, over the next coming months and the coming years, again, the collateral for this is massive. So with that, that's Optus. That's what it was all about. So that's what the breach is a massive breach. It's how it's affected you. And this is what the ultimately aftermath will be. Unfortunately, we'll be talking more and more about this over the coming months. And we're probably going to see more data breaches and more cybersecurity instances as a result of people having access to this information. So this is just the beginning. That is a very lighthearted start. It's season
two. It's a great start to season two, wasn't it, Ben?
It's fantastic. So, yeah, well, let's wrap it up. I'm Ben.
And I'm Sam.
And we'll see you guys next time. Cheers.